to destroy Israel, to rise up against Jehoshaphat and to defeat his kingdom. Okay, there's a problem here because nobody told him this was going to happen. This was not an expected thing. Like I said, they were living in comfort. Everything was going well. And suddenly a man rode into the city and said, "Hey, all these people are getting together to come make war with us, to defeat us." What? But we haven't had time to prepare. Jehoshaphat was afraid because they could not defeat these armies. There were not enough men in his army to make war against these other nations that had come together to fight them. There was no way for victory. I would like you to understand, and in doing so, we're going to use an analogy, not a pretty picture. A young man is sick. A young man of the age of 12 or 13 is sick, and the doctors finally say, "Young man, we found out the reason that you're sick, and that reason is cancer." "What?" "Yes, and we can't do anything about it, and you're going to die." "What?" "All we can do is try to postpone the inevitable, and as a matter of fact, the only way to do that is going to be to take off some of your legs." "But I'm 13 years old." "Yeah. Yeah, but that's all. But I'm not prepared for this. Mama, what do I do? I don't know. I'm not ready for this either." Jehoshaphat was the king of a nation that he was responsible for. He had this exact emotion. Out of the blue, absolute death was in his face. Jehoshaphat was a man of God. This young man that I'm talking about, he was an amazing young man. And he did the same thing that Jehoshaphat did. What does a man of God do when he's faced with extreme stress, with extreme and imminent danger, with the unknown? What does a man of God do? Let us continue reading the passage in 2 Chronicles. Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord. He didn't stop there. He proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah, and so Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. This young man that I'm talking about would talk to you about God. He's a 13-year-old kid, and he doesn't mind talking to you about God. We're all going to face it. It's a matter of fact in our life, stress. But as Christians, you remember those five ideas that I brought forth, those five tenets or techniques to use time as a tool, to use your friends and your family as a support to align your future, your goals with those things that are prioritized as truly important, and then to change your mindset about everything. We have a shortcut. We've got it easy. And at the same time,
It's a difficult transition from the world and what we know and what we think we know to
following the Christian avenue, the Christian approach to dealing with life's problems. Because yes, we will all face these stressful times. That's a matter of fact. God made sure to let us know that we were not promised a bed of roses. We were not promised an easy life. We still have to live in this world. In James it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation." Knowing this, that faith, or the trying thereof, worketh patience. And patience needs to get finished with what it's trying to do. What is patience trying to do in your life? Well, the wording in this verse says, let patience have her perfect work. Let patience have her perfect work. What does that even mean? That, my friends, is the key, in my opinion, to the idea in context with this verse. Let patience have her perfect work. In the Greek, the word for patience is hupomone, which is also translated cheerful endurance. What? The work that patience is working is an occupation. It's not just an act. It's a fulfillment of obligation. It's a goal. The perfection that we want that patience and its work to reach is its maturity, to become fully grown and ripe. And for us to let patience have that means to cheerfully endure the maturation of our occupation. We need to, what is our occupation? It's growing into a being that is like God. To become righteous. To always strive towards being perfect. That's our occupation as Christians, to please God by becoming like Him. In so doing, we love, we obey, and we commit our lives to Him. We have to cheerfully endure whatever it takes to fulfill our occupation. So, when we see James talking about these temptations and trials that come upon us, what he's talking about are the challenges that force us to grow. Do you remember how much we talked about growing the last 2 days? How we need to excel in our lives to promote our growth? That's what James is talking about. These things that press down on us and put pressure on us cause us to grow. That little boy was more of a man by the time he died than I would say almost anyone here in this room. He had an understanding of life and a love for God and man. It was unbelievable. It was awesome. He cheerfully endured, even through the pain, and even through the suffering, and even through the suffering of his family, he cheerfully endured for a specific reason that we'll talk about in a minute. 1 Peter 4. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that messes up the presentation. Do not be surprised at the fire or fiery ordeal among you. Okay.
Have any of you ever had an accident? Volley, I'm going to pick on you because you're laughing.
And you've been talking about it. We always talk about it. Volley's accident prone. And he knows it, and it's okay. Because I don't have to, you know, live with the pain. He does very well living with the pain.
The fiery ordeal that causes him pain, when it happens, what does he do with it? When he broke his rib, punctured his lungs, what did he do?
It definitely didn't make him cow down and tuck his tail and give up what he did. As a matter of fact, he's hard-headed enough that it made him, it drove him to get back on faster than he, sooner than he should have, and push it harder than he should have, and fall down again. Do you think it surprised him when he fell down the second time and broke a rib? 2 months after he had, 3 months after he had just done that? Absolutely not. He already knows it. It's gonna happen. He has chosen a sport, a hobby, an enjoyment in life that is, it's gonna cause some bruises. He knows that. He loves it. So it does not surprise him. So I ask you, you're a Christian in this life, and God has told you that the temptations that come at you should cause you joy. Does it surprise you when bad things happen? Does it surprise you when you go through hard times? It should not. You know, God has told you that these things are going to happen. There's a reason for them. They come upon you for your testing, to challenge you. It's not some strange thing. It only happened to you. Why? No, we know exactly why. Life is life. And as a Christian, it is a challenge that you must face and overcome so that you can grow. And for one other reason that we'll talk about in a minute. Stress affects everybody, especially all Christians. And even Jesus Christ himself experienced stress. You know how I know that? Because if he didn't, it was all a lie. Jesus Christ was a human being, and he faced everything that we face. In fact, he faced stress. Because if he hadn't, he wouldn't be able to say, I know what it feels like. And he definitely knows what it feels like. In John 12 and 27, Jesus Christ said, now my soul has become troubled. Has your soul ever been troubled? I guarantee you it has. I know somebody's soul who's really troubled right now. And it's okay. Because they're not alone. Jesus Christ felt the same way you do. What did Jesus Christ do when his soul was troubled? Now you're a Christian. What is a Christian? Look at the word. It's one who follows after Jesus Christ. What did Christ do? You might as well put in right here, what do I do? Because if we follow after Christ, we ought to do what he does, right? What did Christ do? Let's finish reading. It says, now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. It was this purpose I came. Father, glorify your name. That's what Jesus Christ did. He turned to God. He forgot his problems. He turned to God. Whatever you want is good. Whatever your will is good. God, you are amazing. What happened to the whole troubled soul thing? God, you're amazing. How's that fix the problem? God, you're amazing. But it doesn't... Yeah, God, you're amazing. You know what God did? Did God come down and fix his heart? No, God said, I have glorified my name and I'll do it again. Thank you. You know how? By showing the world that God is more powerful and more important than a troubled soul. You know why a soul is troubled? Why your life is stressed? Why you experience those hard times? Life in this world. Yeah. You know what happens tomorrow? If you don't forget them, they'll at least be different. You remember those times that you were laughing so hard that you cried? Yeah, that's not right now. That's already gone. It's a great memory, but it's gone. Time passes. Things go on. You know, in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything. But that doesn't mean that every time is time for everything at the same time. No. If you're stressed out, you're supposed to be stressed out for a second. And it's a challenge. And you come over and you grow beyond that. And then that time has passed. And it's time for something else. Maybe it's time for one of those laugh until you cry moments. Who else experienced stress in the Bible? Well, I'd have to say just about all of them. Just about all of them. If you look, you can see it. David. Can you imagine David, one of his confidants, his friend, his family? I mean, decided they're going to kill him. He had to run. He had to run from his home. He had to run from his family, his friend, the one he loved, because they wanted to kill him. And he had to keep running. That's stress. You know what David said? David said, the cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. You know what I can hear? I can hear Gatlin saying this. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came to his ears. In David's distress, he turned to God. He said, God, I'm having a really hard time. Help me. And God heard him. Did God fix his problems? No, he had to run really fast for a really long time. But he kept God in his forethought. And God helped him to overcome those challenges in front of him. And he grew because of it. He became better and closed in on the idea of perfection in this world. Did he attain it? No. But he got closer. I would assume he got a whole lot closer than I am and ever will be, because David was a man of God, and that's what I aspire to. But will I make it? I don't know. I sure hope so. David, he did. Absolutely. He was a man of God's own heart. That should be all of our goal, because that means we have grown. And we have overcome those challenges. Somebody else? What about Jonah? Hey, Jonah, I want you to walk down there and tell those people they're not going to listen to you. Do it anyway. if I go down there, they're not going to listen to me. They're going to throw me in jail. They're going to kill me. It's not going to... Man, I've already made God mad. I better run and hide. So he ran and he jumped on a boat. You know, God found him. Big old storm came up and everybody's afraid. What's going on? And Jonah said, it's my fault. It's my fault. We're all going to die because of Jonah. Jonah said, just throw me overboard. Get rid of me. That's the only way to save your lives. That's a little bit of stress. He was running from God because he made him mad. And now all these people are going to die because of him. And if they do what he says to save their life, he dies. Throws him overboard. You know what happens? He doesn't get the quick release of death. No, no, no. If you think your stress is bad now, wait till that fish swallows you. Wait till you see the jaws open. And he doesn't chew you up. You ever thought about what it smelled like for those few days? And he just, it just keeps going on. It's not like, spit that guy out. No, no. Apparently, the whale, the fish, whatever it was, it didn't mind him too bad. It just kept him in there. There's no hope for Jonah. There's no light. There's no fresh air. There's no nothing. And he knows that if the fish does spit him out, he's probably down deep. And he doesn't know if he'll live to reach the surface. He'll drown. So this is the only way he can... Can you imagine the stress of all these things? Jonah says, I prayed to the Lord... I called out of my distress to the Lord, the God of Abraham and Isaac, that our God and Jonah's God saved him. Did he take away all the stress? Nope. God said, hey, you remember what started this whole thing? Get to it. Overcome the challenge in front of you. You can't shirk it. You can't run from it. It will just continue to build. You see how bad that got for Jonah? It just one after the other. One thing over, 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 over. Building, building. The pressure getting heavier. The only way to fix it was to overcome it. To face it. To put it behind him and to move on. How do we do that? We're Christians. How do we do that? Psalm 55 says, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Really? Never? Have you ever been shaken before? What does that mean? Does that mean that you're not righteous? It says, God will never allow the righteous to be shaken. What does that mean? Because I know I've been shaken to my very foundation, to my very core. Does that mean I'm not righteous? It's a difficult question because we have to face something. We have to face something we'll get to that in a minute. We're supposed to cast our burdens on the Lord. Let him take care of them. In Proverbs 3 it says, trust in the Lord. Put your cares on the Lord and put your trust in the Lord. There's a caveat. You can't do that unless you do it with all your heart. And here we go. You tired of me saying we'll talk about it later? Later is now. Do not lean on your own understanding. Do not be wise in your own eyes. So what do we do? What do we do that might make God need to tell us this? We lean to our own understanding. What's our own understanding? How are we wise in our own eyes? What is our train of thought that needs to change? Philippians 4, it says, be anxious for nothing. That's simple, right? Simple. I see a few faces today that absolutely cannot do that. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let God know what you want. And the peace of God, God's own peace, we can't even understand it. It'll guard us, our hearts and minds. It'll protect us. Okay, so we're not doing that. What is the thing? These are very simple instructions, but God says, you don't lean to your own understanding. So apparently we are. And apparently being anxious for nothing is too difficult for us. So why? What is our problem? We're Christians. What is the Christian problem? Because we can't do all this stuff. We're not doing it. It's not fixing me. God isn't making my life better. I still worry about stress. Wow, that's a double negative if I ever heard one. Have you figured it out yet? What's the Christian problem? What is our problem? What is your problem? What is my problem? Why does stress affect us? Why can we? The peace of God is waiting for us. Here's the thing. My coworker tells me. He says, you know, I grew up in the Word. My parents were in the Word from little kids. My mom is always preaching to my uncle, who's an atheist, you need to come to God because God will give you peace and understanding, and the love of God is amazing and it fixes everything in your life. And my mother is going through depression. I said, what does your uncle think about that? He said, he's a counselor, so he just giggles. Yeah, he understands. It's okay. It's okay. Apparently, God can't fix your problems, but we'll talk about it. We'll get them fixed. You know what she's doing to her brother? Pushing him farther and farther away. And me and my coworker are talking about this. His problem is, his mother believes in the peace of God, but she doesn't have it. She demands that everyone acknowledges that God will grant you peace and happiness, and she won't even accept it from God. Why not? If I do this, will it fix me? Will God help me in my life? I need help. My heart hurts. Second Corinthians 1, verse 3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. Me
Me, I, my, me. That's what we think. That's how we live. It's all about me. God says that he's going to comfort us for a reason. That reason doesn't have anything to do with me or I or my. It has to do with the fact that he wants us to be able to comfort those around us. That's why. I don't care if you're stressed out. You have an avenue. Go to God. Give it to God. You need to not be stressed so that you can show other people that truly God gives you peace. This is how you get peace. We're to help other people. For the last 2 days, we've been talking about nothing but that. Realigning our goals and our priorities so that other people are more important. When you're stressed and you can't get over it, it's because you're focusing on you. Focus on someone else. And I don't mean feel bad for them. Help them. Help them. If you're stressed and it's eating you away, you're focusing on stress. You're not thinking about God. If stress is pushing you down, you're not looking up. We're Christians. The difference between a non-believer and a Christian is that we have the perfect and most beautiful hope that has ever existed. As Christians, we have the promise that God loves us and will forever care for us. Forever. We have that. There's nothing better. Nothing in this life is worth even a fraction of that. Our purpose in this life, I mean, think about it. If God just wanted us to say, I love you, God, and I give you my life to you, if that's all he wanted, he would then take us right then. If that's all he wanted, that's what he'd do. He wants more than that. He wants us to show others. He wants us to bring others to him. This church, God's church, Christ's church, is a family. We're to help each other and we're to spread the good news. You can't do that if you're depressed. You can't do that if you're just disjointed in life. If you're stressed and living with all the pressures that hold you down. Because they look at you, just like my coworker's uncle, and say, yeah, I understand. If they're nice, that's what they do. But every one of them says, ye hypocrites. So here's an idea for us as Christians. Take this and give it to your loved ones. The information in it. I don't care about the handout or my lesson. Take the information that we have about stress, about God's peace, and give it to your loved ones. Give it to your family. There's only one way you can do that, and that's if you're an example of it. There's only one way it's going to make a difference. That's if they can see it working in you. There's only one way to bring people to God, and that's to be with God when you reach out. So let's be with God. Okay, the stress, it's going to hit. What do we do in our moments of despair, in our distress? Turn to God. Period. There's no sense and holding on, because that is our decision. We make the decision. We decide, am I going to hold on to this stress, or am I going to do what God told me to and just pray to him and let him deal with it? It's our decision. You see,
John 14 says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. He talks about going away and preparing our place. And the disciples say, yeah, but we don't know where you're going. How do we know how you're going to get? We don't. He says, yes, you do. He said, you know me. Jesus said that he was the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the way to eternal life. And we know this. But it's our decision to follow him. It's our decision to live like God has us to. To deal with stress the way God planned, the way God has designed. Your decision. It's your decision as a Christian to follow God or not. It's your decision to live with stress or not. Do not let your heart be troubled. It's your decision. It's my decision. If you have a problem that you haven't been able to overcome, it is a challenge that may be too much for you. As a matter of fact, I would almost guarantee that it's too much for you to deal with. That's why we give it to God, because he's bigger than all of that. He even gave us each other to help us to get over those hurdles. And that will cause us to grow and become better and closer to God. And then we'll be in a better position to pull others into God's family. To show there truly is peace in God's family. If you're having trouble with stress, or you're having trouble getting the idea across, this whole room is filled with people who are just waiting to help you. If you have yet to let God into your life, now is the time to do that. Come to God and let the peace of God rule in your life. Won't you come?